to attend Oprah's Life You Want Weekend in Metro Detroit. Some amazing speakers. It was very well produced. I highly recommend it if she's coming to a town near you and if you can afford it. It is a very upscale, wonderful, amazing event for sure. And bottom line, all the speakers basically said what I say every week on the show, that every day is a miracle and that we are all miracles and we should not take 1 second of life for granted. And we're here for a reason, but you need to know what that reason is. Like I've said many times, I ask people what makes them happy and they don't know. So I ask, how can you be happy if you don't know what makes you happy? And how are you going to get out of life what you want if you haven't even thought about who you are and what you want? So that was discussed a lot this past weekend, basically boiling it down to life is about a breath. If you are breathing and you wake up and you are alive, then you have something to be grateful for. And that's why I believe strongly about meditation, getting quiet, and really finding out what is going on in your head, other than, well, the bills you need to pay and who said what to hurt your feelings or so on and so on. Get quiet and find out who you really are and then love yourself so you have that strong baseline of self-worth so you can handle anything that life throws your way. I know I've been through a lot of struggles with family members and loved ones, and while I do realize those painful twists and turns of life have made me who I am today, they've helped me see that life can change in an instant. I'm not going to really rejoice that they happened because they were tough, but I have some gratitude that they helped me realize and feel and hopefully inspire others to feel what's important in life. It's all really perspective. Everyone sees things differently, so respect each other. That's all anyone wants anyway, to know that they're valued and that they matter. You be in that moment with someone and listen to them and give them the feedback that they know that you are actually listening to them. You matter. I matter. I spent some quiet time figuring out what my gift was, and I realized I have a large capacity to love. And I'm working on figuring out how to share that and not feel judged and manifest my open heart to make a difference and make a living. Then I realized that love is the most important thing in life, and I am full of it. Yeah, I've heard that before. I'm full of it. But at this moment, I'm talking about I'm full of love. So here I am with love for you, and I want to tell you to love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, how can anyone else love you? You deserve it. You're here. We are all miracles. I used to say that babies are miracles, but we're all miracles. I have a son in med school, and they start out right with anatomy, and he's in anatomy lab, and it's amazing, the human body. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to study it from head to toe, the muscles of the cells and the bones and everything that's involved. As I always say, if you wake up someday and something's not growing where it shouldn't be or falling off, then that's a good day. So today's a miracle. You're awake, you're alive, and you have everything possible to you. You just got to figure out what it is you want. Have you taken the time to figure out who you are, what makes you happy, and what you want? Because you really can't move forward unless you do that. I don't want to just walk through every day. I don't want an average day. I decided my intention, Oprah talked about that a lot this weekend. What is your intention for life? And my intention is I want every day to be special. I want to live every day to the fullest. And I want to be happy, which I believe is a choice that comes from inside. And if you're not, then let's work on it. You can feel free to email me anytime at lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, @gmail.com. So part of the reason I do this show is so we can all learn and grow and be better people and relax and have a better life. And I'm excited because we have a very special guest today. About a year ago, I came across something that is known as EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, otherwise known as tapping. And we have a special guest today who's here to explain what it's all about and how it can improve and inspire your life. It's international presenter, leading expert, and certified practitioner in emotional freedom technique, and a master hypnotherapist, Valerie Liss. Are you there, Valerie?
I am here, Lisa. Absolutely. So excited to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the show. Valerie is a certified EFT expert. EFT Universe Workshop Trainer. You conduct seminars and workshops on EFT, self-improvement, and other health topics. And first of all, why don't you explain to us, what is EFT? What are we talking about?
EFT is actually a self-help tool, which really makes it very empowering. And it's based on the principles of acupuncture, where you are using your fingertips to tap on various points throughout your body. Real simple technique to learn and huge, powerful benefits for anyone who wants to go through the process. So, yeah, we can talk a lot more about all of the huge benefits that EFT has to offer.
What are we tapping on? Are we tapping on our central nervous system, our emotions? I know there are certain places that you tap, and we'll go through that in a few minutes. But what are we affecting? What are we impacting when we're tapping ourselves?
It's based on the principles of traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture. And acupuncture has the philosophy that the body is an energy system. And it's set up in these rivers of energy called meridians. And each meridian is associated with a different emotion. And that is really describing why and how EFT works and where the points are chosen. Gary Craig, the founder, had taken TFT, thought field therapy, which was a very kind of complicated system where you first had to determine what is the emotion and then kind of memorize all these different acupoints. And what Gary did is decided, why don't we tap once on each meridian? In each meridian, there are only maybe a dozen or so. So it meant that we could do the entire process and just need to memorize 10 or 12 points. So each of these points is either the beginning point or the end point of a meridian. Each is associated with a different emotion. So we only need to learn one technique. And no matter what it is we're working on, we can get results.
Oh, awesome. Now, do you want to go over that technique, or should we talk more about what we use it for, or what direction do you want to go in right now?
Why don't we talk first about some of the different benefits and advantages to
it? Okay.
The reason why it can be so powerful is because very often the results are permanent. So, for example, if somebody has a fear of spiders, and there are lots of different things that you can do to help to calm down. You know, even taking a deep breath is sometimes the first thing that is recommended whenever you are feeling stressed. Just, you know, take a deep breath, and that'll help to calm down. The difference with the EFT is once you know the tapping and are able to tap while either being exposed to a spider, thinking about a spider, whatever it may be, not only does it calm you down almost immediately, but in the future, when you think about a spider or see a spider, you no longer react at all anymore. So that's where the power lies, is its ability to be permanent, to permanently eliminate fears and phobias, to eliminate lots and lots of research on its use with PTSD, post-traumatic stress, specifically with veterans and war trauma, as well as any type of a serious trauma, and it will, in the tests, after six sessions with the veterans and the studies with the veterans, after six sessions going from very high PTSD, 90% of them have no PTSD at all by the end of the study. So very powerful for anything that creates fear, anger, sadness, stress. In addition, it also works for things like chronic pain. It also can work for allergies and sensitivities and to eliminate those also in a more permanent way, used for sports performance, also for cravings, whether it's a craving for cigarettes or for chocolate chip cookies. Either way, it's usually permanent or at least long-lasting with its work with cravings. And all of these things are really pretty simple to learn the process, can be a little bit more complicated to know how to get there with all of these different angles. But it is a pretty simple process, and it's something you do yourself.
What
could be better than that?
Right, and I've heard about it being used to try to get rid of wearing glasses, or as you mentioned, weight loss or anxiety. Why isn't everyone doing it? I guess that's my question. But for people who are EFT practitioner expert, and I am a keen observer and interested in it. But for people who are just hearing about it for the first time, and I do believe that we are all energy fields. Everything is energy. But can you tell us a little more? What is a meridian field, and how can this sounds like too good to be true? So I don't know. Maybe if you explain that a little more,
it absolutely does sound too good to be true. And I think in some ways that's probably what's held it back, as people say, "Well, no, it's impossible." And yet, it, you know, really the simplest thing is just to try it. It actually, you know, like anything that's fairly new, been around for a little bit over maybe 15, 16, 17 years. I've been involved almost from the very beginning. And like anything that's new, it takes a while before it becomes mainstream. And it's actually very close now. It did have a meta-analysis published in a Journal of General Psychology. It's an American Psychological Association peer-reviewed journal. And it states that EFT now meets the initial criteria for evidence-based practice through the APA. So it means that it works. And it's actually researched enough to show that it works. And so the next step then is for people to find out about it. Now, going back to the point what you said is, you know, it seems like kind of snake oil. You know, how can anybody or any technique work on everything? And I think the reason why is because it's associated with an immediate reduction in the stress level. And if you look at all of these things that we're talking about, there's a component of stress associated with it. So its ability to immediately reduce the stress level, and I think what happens is it's so dramatic and it's that it kind of gets the body's wisdom, the subconscious, very suddenly kind of thinking, wow, what happened here? And so it needs to rethink its system. You know, spiders? I thought spiders were dangerous. Hey, wait a minute. What's going on here? It, you know, we're completely relaxed. What happened here? And then saying, and then it's kind of searching around to try and figure out what happened, and it forgets about spiders. And it kind of breaks that link saying that spiders were dangerous. So I think the reason why it works on so many things is just stress. Stress is associated with all these things. And if, for example, there was a test that was done before and after tapping, and it measured the cortisol level, and cortisol equals stress, and it showed that immediately after tapping, the cortisol level dropped at such a degree that those that were doing the laboratory, results, actually thought something was wrong with the machines, and sent them back for recalibration because they'd never seen stress levels, cortisol levels that low. So it really does something, which I think if you look at that cortisol level being that low, I think there's an additional benefit too, which I think is fascinating. I think if you look at Tibetan monks, if you look at yogi masters, those that are long-term meditators, that a part of that whole process is that whole sense of spirituality, connection, trying to find that sense of stillness, the awareness. And I think that what happens after the tapping, the cortisol level does drop to such a dramatic level that I think it automatically puts anybody into that connected, intuitive, that kind of state where everything is really guided. And it's really a pretty fascinating technique to work with because in every single session that I work with clients, I will see that there seems to be some type of a guiding principle that brings the body's wisdom in and promotes the whole healing process.
Well, that's amazing news for people who have a lot of anxiety or take medication for anxiety. We're talking to Valerie List. She's a leading expert and certified practitioner in emotional freedom techniques, EFT, or tapping, as it's known. Can people get off medication? Can they be cured from, well, you mentioned the vets having the post-stress problem. Can it be worked for people who have everyday anxiety, or maybe they were abused as a child, or they've been through a lot and they just can't relax? Can they tap and cure themselves?
You know, I mean, with using words like cure or getting off of medications, you know, always, you know, being important to kind of recognize the value of Western medicine and the techniques within Western medicine. Can we support them in the whole healing process? Absolutely. You know, I have worked with just about every one of those categories, and it is, as a matter of fact, there is kind of a special kind of a forward tapping phrase that I've used quite often in working with depression. And it is something that has been extremely helpful in those clients that I've worked with who have said that they have been suffering from depression to have an opening, kind of a hopefulness. And so along with our tapping, I would love to be able to do that for your listeners toward the end of our toward the end of our talk and kind of take them through a forward tapping phrase that can often be very helpful with depression.
Well, that would be amazing, because I think a lot of people need help with that. A lot of times on this show, I get to talk to a lot of different experts, and one of my favorites is Dr. Rudy Tanzi. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He works out of Harvard, and he and Deepak Chopra wrote a book called Super Brain, and they're all about changing how your life is and how you feel by using your brain instead of your brain using you. But this is not really what we're talking about with tapping. Tapping is more of a energy nervous system. How would you compare?
Actually, it is, but it's kind of coming in from a different way. You know, I think that there's in some ways kind of a fallacy, because I think that the general belief is that we are able to immediately change everything that happens to us, all the way we think about things, our whole life, and all we need to do is just do a little tweak in the way we think. And although Right. we are powerful beings, I think that it's missing out on an important component, and that component is the subconscious. Mm-hmm. And what was created within our brain, you know, our neural system, usually coming from the ages of 2, 3, 4, 5, and those core belief systems. And once those are locked in, can we overcome them? Absolutely. People do it all the time. The question is the difficulty with doing so, that it's like traveling upstream. And you can do it for a while, but it really gets wearing. And you can only swim upstream occasionally. You can't spend your whole life swimming upstream. And so it creates a lot of challenge, a lot of difficulty. So what EFT does is it works directly on the subconscious. So it eliminates that current that is sending the stream in a particular direction, and it now makes it so that the water is neutral, kind of neutralizes all of those subconscious belief systems and whatever it is that the body has been doing to protect itself. So once it's neutral, then it empowers choice. Choice, then you can truly choose. You can choose whichever way you wish, and you're not being thwarted, or your efforts are not being destroyed by what your subconscious is trying to do underneath that.
That darn subconscious, I'm telling you. It's
yes.
like, and this is good news. If we can get that under control, I think that's going to be helpful to a lot of people, including me, because that to me, that's an unknown area that is so hard to get into.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I think is really interesting, too, is Dr. Bruce Lipton says, and I actually saw this, I don't know why I was reading a neurology journal, but I actually saw it in a neurology journal as well, and that is that they say that in our lives, what we think, what we do, what we feel, what happens to us, 95 to 98% of that is under the control of the subconscious. So no wonder why we can't change. No wonder why we get stuck in a rut and we can't do what we truly want to do. No wonder why we can't, you know, be, you know, our full potential. It's because of that darn subconscious. And yet at the same time, it's a survival mechanism. And if we did not have the subconscious, you know, we actually could not survive either. You know, we need that fight or flight to jump into gear real quickly when we've got some threat to our safety. So.
Yeah, but what if your fight or flight is just out of whack? Then tapping in. it kicks in when it shouldn't, and the slightest thing can get you activated. And isn't that what causes anxiety for a lot of people?
Well, I hate to just give the hint away before we've actually gone through the tapping process, but I'm actually going to give a hint for that. And the hint is that one point is actually more important than the others. And it's called the fear point. It's how it all started with a thought field therapy with Dr. Roger Callahan, who created that. And it's called the fear point in acupuncture. It's directly beneath the pupil on the bony structure, right in the middle, and tapping with your fingertips. You can go left side, left under the left eye, or under the right eye, tapping with your fingertips that is the fear point. And that will almost immediately reduce your cortisol level, reduce anxiety, reduce stress, and calm you down. And again,
I got five fingers under both points. Is that too much?
Just be careful with your eyes. I mean, you can do three fingers across, you know, two, three fingers across, or, you know, mm-hmm. four if you can fit them. But the idea is just kind of tapping away, being gentle, but at least enough so that you can actually feel the tapping. And if you look at it, that whole cortisol level, the stress, kind of calming that down, that's why that one particular point is more important than the others.
Do you have to say something when you do it, or can you just tap there and that should calm
you
down?
You know, you really don't. That's another fallacy with EFT, is that, especially looking at the Internet and learning from the Internet, sometimes people think all you need to do is find the right words,
mm-hmm.
and if you find the right words, you've got results. And it's really not like that. It really has to do with having an emotional intensity. So that if you are, let's say, stressed, you're going to, you know, test anxiety, or you're going to give a presentation, be on the radio or whatever it may mm-hmm. be, and you are just feeling some anxiety or some stress, just tapping underneath that eye is going to calm you down. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to really identify it. You know, the benefit is if you can identify and just say, this is what's creating the anxiety or what's creating the stress, it will lead to more permanent results. But it's not about what you say, it's about what you feel. You know,
okay, so somebody's just tuning in right now and they are mm-hmm. not familiar with tapping, and they're hearing this wonderful woman, Valerie Liss, telling us if you just tap on your face, it's going to make it feel better. we got to give us an explanation. What are we doing so people can realize that it does actually work?
What you're doing is you are kind of breaking up. The theory in Oriental medicine, acupuncture, is that the cause of emotional distress and disease is a blockage in the meridian, or these rivers of energy flowing throughout the body. So it's what we're doing is by tapping on these endpoint or beginning points of the meridians is we're actually pushing that blockage through.
Okay.
It's allowing the energy to flow again. And that's kind of the theory of how it works, that
okay.
when the energy is flowing, body's in relaxed, perfect health, and that the tapping process is actually pushing the energy through. So don't know for sure the mechanism. That's an idea. The important mm-hmm. thing is to recognize that, yes, it does work. And we do have the research studies, substantial, you know, high-caliber randomized clinical controlled trials, and now classified as evidence-based practice, showing that, in fact, it does work. And it's usually permanent.
And it's permanent. How long does it take to make the results permanent?
You know, it really depends. What affects the results more than anything else is actually the number of related aspects. So let me kind of explain what an aspect is. If you have a fear of spiders, a fear of spiders is where you would start, and you may discover afterward if saying, you know, I'm actually okay with spiders, but those big hairy legs kind of freak me out. So that would be another aspect. So in addition to having fear, you're also creeped out, and mm-hmm. not just with the spiders, but with the big hairy legs. All right, so then you would tap separately on that, and then you could say, you know what, I'm okay as long as they stay over there. If they get too close to me, the idea of it being on my skin, okay, so that would be another aspect. So certain things that you tap on, let's say weight control, you know, you can't just tap and say, you know, I have a problem with my weight, because there are numerous aspects or emotional ties, emotional links that associate emotions, emotional distress with food. From the moment we're born, we cry because we're hungry. So we've got the emotion of tears, crying, and associated with food. So it means weight control, we have to take, it takes longer. We have a lot more to work on, a lot more things that are interrelated. The fastest things to work on are fears and phobias, and second fastest are PTSD. And I think there's another thing that really influences how quickly EFT will work, is this is not coming from EFT Universe, which is where I teach classes from, coming from my own style, which I call simple EFT. Mm. But I believe, personally, that the greater the intensity, the better and the faster EFT will work. And I
the
think
intensity
that
of the problem or the intensity of your practice?
The intensity of your emotional state.
Okay.
The greater the intensity of your emotional state, the better and the faster EFT will work. So that's why it is absolutely exceptional for things like fears, phobias, PTSD, because they have a very strong stress reaction, a very strong intensity. The greatest challenge with EFT are people who are in their heads all the time. Because if they don't feel it in their body, if it's just a thought, I don't believe that EFT works very well on a thought or a memory. What it's actually doing is it's working directly on the physical response associated with the thought or the memory. So going back over to the fear of spiders, what happens is when somebody has a fear, their heart is racing, breathing's going really fast, panic, run away. Mm-hmm. They tap, and within moments of tapping, the heart rate drops, breathing goes down, cortisol level drops, they're completely relaxed. There's still the spider there, and they're kind of looking over at the spider, and the body's saying, hey, wait a minute, I have no reaction. So the last thing that happens then is the cognitive side, the conscious mind, where it will say, hey, looks like I'm not afraid of spiders anymore. But that comes last. It's really the physical response that EFT is working on. Hmm. So if a person has a strong physical response, they're going to get really good results. If they're in their heads, they're really not going to get, they can, but it's just a little bit more challenging to get EFT to work for them.
Well, all right, I got an email from a listener named Sarah, who basically says, mm-hmm. I'm Sarah, I love your show. I am a people-pleasing person. So just the thought of public speaking or doing something in front of others where I feel I'm being judged causes my fight or flight reaction to kick in, gives me anxiety, makes me sweaty, and is this something that I can get over?
Oh, absolutely,
with tapping.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
What would
yes.
you advise?
Okay, so we're going to go through the tap. You want to go through the tapping process?
Sure, let's
we'll
do it.
Actually,
yeah.
You know, I know she's on the line, but we will
right.
go through the tapping process. Do you have something that you want to work on? Is there anything that creates any kind of anxiety, phobias, fears, anything for you?
Just life.
We can do it at the same time. No, what?
let's do Sarah right now. Let's just focus on one thing
okay.
right now. Can you do multiple things at once?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Quite often I'll take an entire group, and we'll get everybody set up, and we'll say, okay, what do you work on? Everybody's working on something. And as long as they have an intensity, we're all tapping together. And
well, are you into the manifesting? Are you into manifesting money, too?
Oh, sure, yes. As a matter
yeah.
of fact, all right,
let's
what
do
I
that
do
too.
For a hobby...
Yeah.
What I do for a hobby is I win contests.
Really?
Yes.
Personally?
That's one of my own personal hobbies, yes.
Well, now, that's a whole other subject. How do you win?
It is, yeah. We should do a show on that, how to win contests. It's fun.
Well, I'm a longtime commercial radio broadcaster, so I know how those people win contests. But I think you're talking about something bigger and more exciting.
Well, I don't know. I just do it just for fun. You know, it's
okay.
not like, I haven't won the lottery, but I haven't tried really to win the lottery because that to me is just saying like, well, then it's not fun anymore. I'm just doing it for entertainment's sake. So
really?
Anyway, so let's go
okay.
ahead and we'll take Sarah through. So the important thing for her to do initially is to focus on the anxiety itself. You know, some people get a little bit frustrated with EFT because they say they're focusing on the negative.
Yeah, that's
interesting. But we're only doing it for a minute. And once we get rid of whatever this problem is, it's not going to affect us anymore. You know, what more empowering thought can happen than that?
Yeah,
you know,
that's
so
amazing.
So just for a minute. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, go ahead. And sometimes what can actually be helpful is even worst-case scenario. So imagine herself... at a presentation. It's an important presentation. Let's say her job depends on it. And everybody around has frowns. They, mm-hmm. and right in the beginning, that there's just all the stressors, that kind of worst nightmare, worst case scenario, all happens at once.
Well, see the stressors.
Yes, see the stressors.
The stress. Okay.
Yeah, and then recognize where do you feel it in your body. So are you feeling it in the chest and the chest is really tight, or is your stomach turned? So identifying where do you feel it in the body, and then put a number on it. 0 is none at all. 10 is very high. You know, I'm kind of guessing at this point she's probably 15 or 20 because yeah. Not only was she saying it was stressful, but I'm asking her to go into the worst-case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So then we do the tapping process itself. I'm going to explain the setup, although I don't use the setup as often in private practice anymore, but I will explain it. And what the setup is you tap, again, you find your, usually people will tap with their dominant hand. So let's say she's right-handed. So we tap with the fingertips of the right hand, and we're going to tap on the karate point of the left hand. The karate point is found by very loosely kind of clenching the fist, and on the baby finger side, between the base of the finger, baby finger and the wrist, is this fleshy area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that part where we typically would use the karate on breaking a brick if our hand was open. So anyway, it's on this fleshy area, and you tap consistently and say the words, even though I have this problem, so this fear of speaking, I deeply and completely accept myself. Keep tapping on that karate chat point, even though I have this fear of public speaking, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though I have this fear of public speaking, I deeply and completely accept myself. And that's it for the setup. The purpose of the setup is just to get us ready to tap. It's not necessary all the time. And again, I don't always use it myself in practice. So are we ready to start with the tapping now?
Yeah. So that's the setup.
So
and I'm
that
tapping
just gets
like
us
tap, 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 tap. What pace? Do you think it's faster or slower? Is tap, 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 tap pretty good?
You know, the pace can vary. A lot of these things, the really good part about this technique, too, is it is just so flexible. It no matter what you do, it kind of seems to work. So you can use opposite hands. You can switch over from the right side to the left side. You can actually miss certain points now and then. You can do them in the wrong order. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. And so, you know, the... Once we get going on the tapping right now on these 8 points, you know, usually 5, 6, 7, you know, 8 taps is about right in between the points for each point. But at the same time, we don't really want to count, because if we're counting how many taps we're doing, then we're kind of missing the focus of what we should be focusing on, which is our distress.
Okay.
Okay, so we're ready to begin?
Yes.
Okay, so the first one is the top of the head. So if you kind of imagine that you're a marionette and being pulled from the highest point, and then go back maybe an inch or so. So again, as long as you're close, that's all that matters. And so tap, 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 tap. The focus, again, is the fear of public speaking.
So focus on the fear again.
Yep, so focus on the fear. Again, it's not as much what you say as really getting that focus in and kind of trying to keep that focus in on whatever it is that you're working on.
Okay.
Next one is the inside of the eyebrow. So, of course, you have two eyebrows. You can choose either one. The inside of the eyebrow is toward the inside of the eye. So the eyebrow itself, but on the inside of it, tap, 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 tap. You know, again, focus on fear of public speaking. Next one is the outside of the eyebrow, also called the side of the eye. And again, you can switch to the other eyebrow. You can stay with this eyebrow. It doesn't matter. Tap, 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 tap. Fear of public speaking. Next one is underneath the eye. So this is the fear point, the one that I mentioned earlier, directly beneath the pupil on the bony structure right in the middle. Tap, 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 tap. Fear of public speaking. Next one is the nose, under the nose, so between the nostrils and the upper lip, there's kind of this divot there.
Mm-hmm.
So tap directly on that little indentation, tap, 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 fear of public speaking. Next point is the chin, so the chin is between the lower lip and the chin, and there's this crack or line there.
Mm-hmm.
So tap right on that line, tap, 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 fear of public speaking.
Okay.
Next one is the collarbone. So collarbone is from the hollow of the neck, go down an inch and across 2 or 3 inches.
Across
the hollow
inward
of the
or
neck
outward?
Or where, Outward. Okay. And in either direction. So the hollow of the neck or where a man ties a tie, mm-hmm. down an inch and two or three in either toward the right or the left, out in either direction. So tap, 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 tap. Fear of public speaking. And then the last one is the armpit. So lift up the arm. Again, if you're right-handed, lift up the right arm. Follow the fingertips down to where the bra comes around. There's maybe a nickel or a quarter size circle there that can be quite tender. Mm-hmm. That's the point. So again, where the bra and the armpit interconnect. An alternate way of doing it, again, if you're right-handed, and you would do it the opposite way if you're left-handed, but if you're right-handed, you would cross your body, your right hand over to your left armpit, lift your left arm up, follow the armpit down to where the bra comes around, and tap in that point. So fear of public speaking.
Okay.
So now we've done all and identified all 8 points, and this same process is what you do every single time you tap. I mean,
you've done all eight points, and what's wrong? Every point you've tapped with, what's bothering you?
Right.
Okay.
And then knowing that, that may shift or change once you get going. So now we're working with Sarah. So from the top of the head, tap, 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 fear of public speaking. Mm-hmm. Inside the eyebrow, tap, 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 fear of public speaking. Outside the eyebrow, tap, 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 fear of public speaking. Under the eye, fear of public speaking. Under the nose, fear of public speaking. Chin, fear of public speaking. Collarbone, and of course she's just really focusing, Sarah's focusing on that fear. Collarbone, mm-hmm. fear of public speaking. Under the arm, fear of public speaking. Hold on 1 second.
So we're focusing.
So that was a full round.
Okay.
1 second.
So we go around the body points and we focus on the fear or the problem.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's a round. So do a couple of rounds. Continue to focus on it. Then when you're done with that, you evaluate. And so the evaluation will say, you know what, I'm not afraid of the fear of public speaking now, but I am still afraid of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Or now I'm feeling more just frustrated or nervous. So identify what the shift or the change is, and once you've identified the shift or the change, tap another couple of rounds focused on whatever that new emotion, that new feeling is.
So I hear what you're saying. People say, I feel like we're tapping and focusing on the negative all this time. What's bothering us, right?
You are.
Okay.
You are.
Okay. And that,
and
can
that
help.
Is good.
That can help improve right there.
I think, go back again to the example of the spiders, okay? And if somebody has a fear of spiders, what happens? Their heart rate's going up, breathing's going up, they're in a panic. So I believe that that's how EFT works, because when a person has all of this high intensity, you know, this fear of spiders, and the tapping is so dramatic, it's such a dramatic shift where it goes from huge fear into this really sudden state of relaxation, that it's that confusion, momentary confusion in the body that says, huh, what happened here? And because it happens so dramatically, it breaks the link permanently that says that spiders are dangerous. So especially for those that are, you know, really big into the law of attraction, you know, they think, well, oh my goodness, I'm focused on the negative, so therefore I'm going to get more negative into my life. Well, again, that's how EFT works. Number two, it's only for a minute. But number three, it actually works beautifully with the law of attraction, winning contests, whatever it is that you wish. Why? Because you're neutralizing the subconscious belief systems that have been creating challenge for you so that now you can truly choose. You have the power to choose. The subconscious no longer has control over your life.
All right, let's say that one more time, because I think that is very powerful. We're neutralizing the subconscious?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So then you can, I'm writing this down, neutralize your subconscious. So then you
but
have
then
the
I'm
power.
Not going to remember it, so we might have to replay it to see what it was. I don't remember.
Neutralize the subconscious. We're neutralizing our subconscious so then we can choose how to feel? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It gives us the power now that we have choice. Because when the subconscious runs our life, again, 95 to 98% of the time, it's running our life. When it runs our life, we are very, very limited because it is so powerful. I mean, it's a mechanism for survival. And if it thinks spiders are dangerous, you bet your booties it's going to do everything to say, get away from here. If it thinks public speaking is dangerous, it's going to try to get away from a public speaking engagement. And no matter how much Sarah is going to try to put herself into that situation, the subconscious is going to fight her all the way. So now if it's neutralized, then she can choose.
That's amazing. I love that. Neutralize your subconscious so you can choose how to feel. So we've done focused on the problem. Do we go through with a positive statement then and tap?
You know, you can. It's called the choices method. The only problem what I've seen is if there is no distress associated with the positive, it may not have much value. You know, as a cognitive side, you know, if you just want to say, well, we just want to kind of leave on a more positive state, well, you know, you can, but it's not real EFT as far as getting the results. It's not as transformative. You know, especially if you think about somebody, let's say, that's been suffering with long-term grief, and they are with suffering the long-term grief, they don't want to end on a positive note. They just want some relief from their grief. And so to think that you always have to tap something, you're really never tapping anything in. All you're doing is creating a neutral state. Once that neutral state is attained, then very often it's not necessary to bring in positives. Now, just to confuse things.
As I said, I followed tapping. That's the first time I've heard that, but it makes sense. It makes sense. I think the people I've heard doing it always want to end with a positive, you know, like you're tapping now, I feel fantastic.
That's another one thing that's kind of a fallacy. It's really a fallacy. And Gary Craig, the originator, you know, really does not like positives at all because he thinks that, and it is true, that those that are on the internet and those that are using that approach are just causing mass confusion for people that are new to the field. So just to confuse things, I promised that we would also do something with depression. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, I believe that the positive is really the negative.
Okay. Explain
now,
that one.
Confused yet? Is that confusing
yet?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So when the positive is the negative, you can get huge results from using the positive. So let me kind of explain what I mean. So if you look at depression, I believe personally that it is kind of like an allergic type symptom, kind of a sensitivity stress response to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what we do for the forward tapping phrase, for someone who is not suffering from depression, they perceive it as being a positive phrase. For someone suffering from depression, it is not positive at all. It's actually very irritating. Very often I will have people that are suffering from depression that say, well, I don't want to say that. It's a lie. It's not true. You know, and sometimes they have to swear to say it. So shall we go through the forward tapping phrase, and then I'll explain afterwards what I mean by that?
Yeah, you're going to tell us the phrase, right?
I sure will. So from the top, we're going to tap through just one or two rounds of it real quickly. So from the top of the head, tap, tap, tap. I am so happy. So go ahead and say it out loud. I am so happy. Inside the eyebrow, I am so happy.
I am so happy.
Outside the eyebrow, I am so happy.
I am so happy.
Under the eye, I am so happy.
I am so happy.
And really exaggerating the so, too. Under the nose, I am so happy.
I am so, I mean, sound like I mean it? Or just imitating?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I am so happy.
Jen, I am so happy.
I am so happy.
collarbone. I am so happy.
I am so happy.
Under the arm. I am so happy.
I am so happy.
Top of the head. I am always happy.
I am always happy.
Inside the eyebrow. I wake up happy.
I wake up happy.
Outside the eyebrow. I go to sleep happy.
I go to sleep happy.
Under the eye. Nobody could ever take it away from me.
Nobody could ever take it away from me.
Under the nose. It defines me.
It defines me.
Chin, it's who I am.
It's who I am.
Collarbone, I am so happy.
I am so happy.
Under the arm, I am so happy.
I am so happy.
All right, now take a deep breath. Now, if you, again, think of depression or persistent sadness or, you know, that type of a concern, as an inability to experience happiness and joy like everybody mm-hmm. else, you can see that this phrase on the surface appears positive, but for that group of people, it's not. And as soon as they say, I'm so happy, and I say with a lot of enthusiasm, they'll mm-hmm. say, well, I'm not happy, and I'm angry because I'm not mm-hmm. happy. I'm frustrated because I'm not happy. I'm sad because I'm not happy. It's not fair. Everybody else is happy. Something's wrong with me. I can't experience happiness. And so underneath, there is so much distress associated with those words. And we just keep on going and keep on going until they can say those words and begin to really mean it. Then at that point, I say, okay, you're an Academy Award-winning actor or actress. You have got to feel it to the very deepest core of who you are in order to really be Academy Award winning. So now go ahead, say it again, and just from the deepest core of who you are. And so continuously saying the words, I am so happy, until they can feel it, until they can actually mean it, is a huge opening. Because up until that point, their subconscious says, don't you dare be happy. There's a lot of danger with that. If you've been happy in the past, somebody takes the rug out from underneath you and makes it, you know, then you're so destroyed, you can't handle that anymore. And so we're not going to allow you to be happy. It takes all of that away, and it moves into this hopefulness of saying, you know what, I think I actually could be happy. And that's the beginning. You know, not to say it takes severe depression and now it moves into, you know, the depression is gone. That's not at all what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that it opens up possibilities, hopefulness, and that is the beginning.
And that is what the show is all about. Can you do the same thing with I am so calm? Could you reduce anxiety and stress by tapping on those meridian points and just saying I am very calm?
I don't
calm.
Think
I'm
so
peaceful.
Because there's not quite as much emotional distress associated with it.
Oh, I don't know. I know people who've had a lot of anxiety, and like as Sarah said in her email, if it's mm-hmm. keeping her from performing, wouldn't
okay.
you have the, you're the expert. I mean,
okay.
who am I to, you're the expert, but I'm just wondering.
No. I mean, if those words have anything that has a charge, you know, I believe that we can react. If you kind of look at where I say that depression is an allergy to happiness, if you kind of, allergy is not the best word, but we don't have another word that describes it. So
right.
I believe that you can really be reactive, charged, allergic type response to anything. You know, I've worked with people who have allergic type responses to colors, to numbers, to dates, to words, to phrases, to, and so if the word calm immediately gets your heart racing, and especially you can see how it would happen whenever you're distressed, people say calm down, and then you want to swear. You know,
you calm down. You have to focus on the word that provokes it. But what if it's so innate in you? What if it's so in your subconscious? What if you don't even know the word that's associated with it? How do you deal with it?
Anything that can create distress is still going to work. So you can work with worst case scenarios, charged phrases, creative visualizations, anything that can put you into the state of distress, and then you tap that you can get benefit from it.
Wow, that's amazing.
But
now,
that
how do you
key.
Use
that's the secret?
How do you use tapping to like manifest money or manifest relationships? Can you use it to bring good things into your life as well?
Yes. So what you do is you get a visualization, mm-hmm. so whatever it is that you want, and kind of think about it. And as soon as you get some type of kind of a negative thought or a distress, of saying, oh, gee, I feel guilty if I win, then mm-hmm. you tap. Okay, I feel guilty about winning this contest. Other people need it more. Then you go back and you visualize again, and there is a secret. So I'm going to throw out the secret right off
awesome.
The bat. This is the secret.
Okay.
When working with manifesting, I believe personally that excitement is a negative emotion.
Huh.
And if you have excitement, then it actually chases it away. If you look at excitement, excitement is heart is racing, okay, breathing's going up. Mm-hmm. And so if you're thinking about, your brand new car and you're excited, if you really won the car 10 years later, 5 years later, you're not going to have this pounding heart. You're just going to be riding the car and feeling good that you won it and didn't have to pay for it. And so excitement is a negative emotion. So in going and doing this creative visualization about what you want, what you're creating, if you get excited, that needs to be tapped away as well.
So what should we be feeling?
You should be feeling a gentle state of expectation.
Ooh,
more
gentle
of an
state
internal
of
joy.
Oh, I love that. Gentle state of expectation. I'm writing these down.
Mm-hmm.
Gentle state
okay.
of expectation, or what did you say about joy?
Kind of an internal joy, just a sense
okay.
of joy.
But be
and
calm.
So so let's say, you want a car. So you're mm-hmm. feeling, the leather of the seat. You're feeling good when you're driving and say, it felt so nice to win this car. I haven't had to pay a penny with it. And mm-hmm. kind of smelling the smell of a new car and then getting out of the car and looking at it and saying, it's just so beautiful. It makes me feel so good. I feel so grateful. And so all of these gentle state of expectation kind of emotions, but none of them are excitement. And then
because
also
excitement is too much, it just puts us over the edge.
excitement has the same feelings as negative emotions. It is a stressor. And,
okay.
If you look at the Buddhists have said all along right. that we don't want excitement. And, if you look at excitement, too, and working with it, it can be very effective in working with bullying, because bullying is an excitement toward being empowered. And sexual addictions. In all different kinds of examples, cravings. If you look, again, we said EFT works very well with cravings. What is a craving but just kind of a nervous excitement?
Right.
Give me chocolate and give it to me now. So by working with the emotion of this kind of nervous excitement, it will help, again, what's our goal? To neutralize it. And once the subconscious is neutralized, it's not running the show anymore. And so now we're empowered to make our own choices.
That was always my thing with Deepak Chopra. He's so even-keeled, and he says nothing gets him excited. And sometimes I just think, it's good to be, I like to get excited about things in life.
Oh, appropriate excitement is absolutely good. As a matter of fact, I love excitement. And to mm-hmm. me, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is it's one of two things. Excitement when either it's extended and it's lasted for, longer than it should. So that's the problem with manifesting. You're not going to be excited 5 years after you won the car.
Right.
All right.
I say that all the time.
Yeah.
People take things for granted very quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
So the excitement level, when it's extended for a great length of time, it's too much of a stressor on the nervous system. Mm-hmm. And the second case where excitement is kind of a negative emotion is when the excitement is for something inappropriate. So mm-hmm. then bringing us back to sexual addictions, obsessive compulsive is another one. Should you really be excited when you wash your hands? Okay,
right.
Should you be excited when you are missing, if you're lining things up in groups and in even groups instead of odd groups, okay? Should there be an excitement associated with that? Probably not. So that's why working on excitement can be very effective when working with obsessive compulsive.
Wow,
but nothing wrong with excitement as an emotion
right.
when it's appropriate.
Right. Oh, I love it. Valerie List, I am so much enjoying our conversation. We have a final few minutes here, and I want you to get plug in. I know you're working on a book and everything, but the one thing that I had to say is the bottom line message of tapping is I love and appreciate myself, right? Isn't that what we all need to do in the, no matter what the situation is?
Yes. You know, that's a part of the setup as far as what we had said in the very beginning, where you're kind of getting the body ready. Even though I have this problem, I deeply and completely accept myself, or I deeply and completely love and accept myself. So, yes, that really is the core, and kind of neutralizing the whole, the subconscious system. And once that's neutralized, it's not running the show, and it empowers anyone to make better choices themselves. You know, that they can choose now. And I think the best thing, you know, not only does it work quickly, very quickly, sometimes within minutes, but in addition, it's usually permanent and it is self-empowering. You know, it's a self-help tool. Anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see that lots of people will get results just trying it off the internet. The only difference, now I do a lot of workshops. I train EFT practitioners and workshops across the United States and then also overseas as well. And the biggest difference with coming into a workshop is to be able to get consistent results with all different kinds of people on all of these different areas. You know, we haven't even talked about chronic pain or, you know, working with physical allergies and sensitivities, or working with people who have a higher level of stress, the PTSD and some of those issues. And so there are just so many different ways of working with EFT, and also the ability to get consistent results day in, day out with a variety of people, and then to get those results fairly quickly. You know, I think anybody
can get results.
How many
tapping sessions, one or two or three or four, how many should we reasonably have to do before we start to feel something?
You know, it depends on, you know, if you're working with a practitioner, if you're working on yourself, you know, I once, you know, one of the principles of EFT is to be persistent. And I actually had somebody once who said, I work on this particular issue every single morning for 15 minutes, and I've been doing it for 6 months, and nothing's happened yet. When should I expect to get results? And I was absolutely horrified because my level, but then, of course, I have been working with it for a long time. If I don't get results within 1 minute, I try something else. I never would have lasted for 15 minutes and six months. So what I would say is if you're not getting results within a couple of minutes, then come in from a different angle. Now, sometimes people will think they're not getting results, but what's happening is what's called shifting aspects. So let's say they start out and they're saying, you know, I'm angry at my dad. And they tap, 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 tap. And then they say, well, I'm still a 10, and I'm still angry at my dad. And they tap some more and they say, I'm still a 10, and I'm still angry at my dad. Tap, 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 I'm still. But that what they don't realize is every single time they tap that they're angry for different reasons.
Okay.
All right. Well, or instead of being angry, now they're sad.
We have like a minute left, and I want to give out the information. How can people get a hold of you, Valerie List?
The book is Simple EFT, Hints and Tips for Better Results. So the
is
website
it out already?
It's not quite ready, but shortly.
Right.
And simpleeft.com is one of the websites, and coursesforlife.com is the other. And courses like a class, so coursesforlife.com.
And you travel all around the country. I know you were just in Michigan, where I am right now, but as I said, people all over the world could be listening to this show. So if you want Valerie to come and speak to you or help you, or you're available for all that, right?
Yes. And email is valerie@coursesforlife.com. Also valerie@simpleeft.com.
Thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate
it. I've loved it. I've enjoyed it. I really appreciate your having me on the show and love to be back.
All right, if you're listening live, you can hear us now on BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. You can come back and listen to this episode at your leisure, anytime, anywhere, on your iPad, on your phone, online. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Valerie. Laugh as much as you can. Look for joy. Tell yourself everything's going to be okay. And I look forward to connecting with you again next week.